Abraham Lincoln.
Louisiana Purchase, that's a name.
You need to really get off my balls, okay? I'm gonna kick your ass.
Also, why was Michelangelo so stinky? Ew.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 340 of the All You Can Hear podcast. I am one of your two co-hosts, Wenzel, and joining me today is...
Colt, and I'm running, just running. I'm scared. We've watched so many horror movies this year, so I'm scared.
Well, I have another scary question for you, Colt. What kind of American are you?
Funny?
So stupid.
Oh, man.
I don't know. That's the only thing I could come up with that. Yeah.
Fuck.
So
that's what your bit was?
Yeah, that was my bit.
Okay.
I've been saying that all weekend I've been saying that to Colt so many times for the past like 24 hours. Because we did recently see that movie, and so if you can tell from the title, we're going to be talking about 2024 movies that we had seen this year, just strictly 2024. And we've seen a lot. I meant to try to compare how many movies we had, 2023 movies we'd seen last year between this time period, but I never got the chance. But it feels less, I want to say, but I don't know for sure.
Yes, but also more, I feel, because we're watching more older movies.
Yeah, and like also too, like this past month alone of April, we've had double features every weekend at the theaters. So,
yes.
So what we're doing is we're even if the film like on Letterboxd says it came out in 2023, we're doing, if you don't know, this is how we do our usual award kind of process of like, okay, if the film came out in 2023 but it didn't have a wide release until 2024 either in theaters or through streaming, then we're counting it as 2024, just because we just don't get shit here in Alabama sometimes. Yeah. So
and yeah. Sometimes wide releases just don't happen for a long ass time.
Yeah. So, and how we have it broken down for this list is we each have our top five here. There is a discrepancy, though. I've watched one more movie this year than Colt.
And so, I'm so sad that I missed it. Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, as soon as I logged it, Colt immediately messages me at like 4 a.m. screaming at me, telling me how the fuck could you betray me? How could you do this to me?
Yeah, I was crying and kind of threw up all over myself. And I didn't clean it off until I was hosed down by someone in public.
Yeah. Colt, hands on the wall, butt facing the road as somebody's just, the janitor is holding, some janitor is hosing him off. Stranger, by the way, don't know who this guy is. Colt just asked him, he's like, can you wash me off? And he's like, yeah, sure. Puts in a cigarette and just does his job.
Yeah, just picture a naked mole rat with his hands against the wall.
And imagine the most disgruntled, hardened janitor who just kind of is up for anything.
I didn't pay him. He was down.
Yeah, who would be that guy? What actor celebrity?
I don't fucking know.
Okay, I was just trying to have a fun little bit.
Fuck! Damn. I don't goddamn know.
Shit. Okay. So we're just gonna go down. We'll quickly go through, through the list, and then we'll like in our top five, we'll spend more time with our top five. So I've seen 14. Colt's seen 13. We'll start from 14, and then just go down. So my number 14. There's a huge discrepancy, by the way, in the ratings. I saw The Beekeeper.
Damn. That's the one that I shit and threw up all over myself for.
If nobody knows, that's the Jason Statham-led action film where he plays a beekeeper And the beekeepers are a special organization within the U.S. government that's outside the books, outside of law, the CIA, the FBI. They're special trained. Whenever the system is out of whack, they deploy a beekeeper to put it back into balance or whatever. And in this, he's a retired beekeeper, and this old woman who he's been taking care of and who's been taking care of him, she ends up getting scammed by, telemarketers. And she ends up killing herself because she lost so much money.
What the fuck? I did not know that.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. I didn't know where it was going to go from the trailers, but I was like, something happens with this old lady. And then, yep, literally the next day, that day, she shoots herself because she
Jesus Christ.
She shoots all of her money. You know, slight spoilers, by the way, for anybody wondering.
I never will see this movie, so Winslow can spoil it all in once.
I'm just telling this for people for all of the movies. There's going to be slight spoilers. So yeah, this is directed by David Ayer. If nobody knows who that is, he's the one that directed the 2016 Suicide Squad, the bad one.
But, no, you shouldn't have said that. The great one.
But it's interesting. He directed Fury and End of Watch.
What the fuck? Those are decent movies. What happened, man?
So weird. So bizarre. But yeah, Beekeeper. It's just nothing but it's basically nonstop action and bee puns. That's not a bit. So many jokes or phrases involving bees or the hive or whatever you can think of. It's insane. Not insane like this is cool insane, but kind of insane of like, I'm going to shoot myself.
Oh, so you loved it, by the way.
Yeah, I loved it. I wanted to watch it again once it was over.
It
felt so long too. It's only 105 minutes, so that's like an hour.
It still feels pretty long.
It felt so much longer than what it needed to be, of nothing but Jason Statham just going crazy. There's some fun parts in it, like when some of the kills are brutal, I'll say that. Well, it's whatever. I gave it 2.5 stars.
Damn. The way you were talking about it, I thought you loved it.
Sorry.
All right. I guess I'll never watch it. I was going to say, you might as well just start going down a list, because no way in hell I have mine in the same order. Okay, we've seen these movies.
Fair enough. Number 13, Hideo Kojima, Connecting Worlds. Directed by Glenn Milner. It's a documentary about Hideo Kojima, obviously famous video game developer, made Metal Gear Solid, Death Stranding, and so on. I give it 4 stars. It's okay. It's just, I say okay, I give it 4 stars, because there is like some really fascinating or poignant things, especially from Hideo and just the video game industry, but it's literally just, they're just stroking Hideo's shit.
Yeah, it's dick eating, and I'm all for it. That's why I gave it 5 stars, because I love Hideo Kojima. He's my favorite director, artist, period. Really, that man has made just some of the best future predicting games ever made.
Yeah, no, that those bits with his coworkers talking about how scared they are that he's gonna predict something, it's so fun. Again, it's not a bad documentary either. It's just the same thing over and over again. It didn't need to be 60 minutes. It could have probably been condensed down into 30, but the 60 minutes isn't bad, I guess. Anyway, yeah, so
I really enjoyed it, because it also gave you a little backdoor into the Kojima Productions. Not much, but just a little bit. Also, it made me like click what the fuck he meant by a Strand type game. So 5 stars, Hideo Kojima, I love you. Give me early access to Death Stranding 2, please. I bet Hideo Kojima, on days that he's bored, he goes up to coworkers and he says something like, July 16th, be ready. and he walks away.
if that's a bit that he does, that's funny, because with everything else that he's done, yeah, I would do it. All right. Next up, my number 12 is Late Night with the Devil, directed by Cameron Cairns and Colin Cairns. This is about a live broadcast of a late night talk show in 1977, starring David Desmalchian. He's the show host, Jack Delroy. And in this show, it's a Halloween night. You know, they're trying to do something fun and spooky. He's trying to get his ratings up, so he brings on a psychic, basically, a skeptic, a doctor, and somebody who's a girl who's supposedly possessed by a demon, and shit goes crazy. Should mention, there is AI art in this film. We didn't know about that. Me and Colt, anyway, didn't know about that till after we got done watching the film.
I knew it before.
Oh, sorry. He knew. He just refused to tell me.
I just forgot to tell him.
No, I didn't know. And once we knew after, it didn't really hurt
for me, because I knew from the get go. Also, it takes up such a minute part of the show or the movie that it really doesn't hurt that much. But I do think the way someone that worked on the movie, he said something that I really didn't agree with about AI art, but still, it was a great movie.
Obviously be careful of that, just because, I say be careful. I don't know why be careful. You're not the one using AI art. I don't know why I said that. You say minute, but there people did pull up instances where some of that AI art has been used in a promotion, and not only that, it's used on the set itself. So it's kind of iffy, but at the same time, like a lot of people have also brought up, that this movie has been worked on by a lot of people, a lot of studios, because there's such a long credit sequence, opening credits of the studios. It's literally that Family Guy bit of Peter thinking the movie's about to start, but it doesn't. It's insane. That's probably the second time I've ever seen that ever. And there's a lot of people working on this film, so it shouldn't take too much away from the hard work that did go into the people who, the humans who actually put the work into this.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it's a fun movie. The effects are kind of janky, but they're fun, I think.
You say janky, but I think it's done like that on purpose. It adds to the fact of what kind of horror movie they were going for.
That's what I'm saying. It's fun, and I think that's done purposefully. I love, God, I hope I'm saying his name right. I didn't think about that. I love David. Every time he's usually in a supporting role. I think this is one of the times where he's in a main role.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. I love him. And
he's a very interesting person. I listened to the last podcast on the left interview. He's a fucking nerd, full and through and through. He's a Halloween nerd, to be very specific. He is meant to play the creepy, just off characters. But this time he was the not creepy guy, which was different for him.
He definitely plays he definitely fits into a certain type, and with this, I think he fits very well into this. And there were some trippy some interesting visuals in here, but for the most part, it's a fun movie. I give it 4 stars.
Yeah, I gave it 4 stars too. It's a great time, really. Check it out, because there is some brutal stuff in it.
Yeah. My number 11 is Ricky Stenicki, directed by Peter Farrelly. This stars Zac Efron, Jermaine Fowler, and Andrew Santino, and John Cena. The first three I mentioned are a group of friends who have been avoiding certain responsibilities all throughout their life by blaming it on an imaginary best friend that they have, Ricky Stenicki. But then there comes a time where Ricky Stenicki needs to be actually seen, felt, and visualized. So they hire a washed up actor, but like he does like raunchy impersonation. That's what it is. John Cena to fill in to be Ricky Stenicki, and it's just, it's a wild ride.
It's incredibly funny. John Cena's whole, before he joins them, he's like a stripper that does parody covers of songs that are like, you must grip it, whip it. They're talking about the penis. It's all about jerking off and ejaculating. It's very fucking funny.
It's really funny.
I could have listened to an endless amount of his renditions of different pop songs. Also, fun fact, just the fucking director directed Green Book and Dumb and Dumber. That
really
threw me off. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, but this movie, though, holy shit, it was so funny. I do not agree with the consensus that a lot of people have come up with saying it's horrible. I genuinely thought the humor in it was fantastic and that John Cena shines his best in humor roles. He's just too fucking funny in this movie.
I don't understand the hate. Like it's just so much fun. I mean the emotional parts, they kind of fall off a bit, but I mean for the most part it's just a stupid move, like a not stupid, but it's meant to be like a, you know, it's a comedy. Like, I don't know. My favorite bit was whenever John Cena is preparing or trying to fill in the role of Ricky Stenicki, and he has to go sober and he pisses in his sweatpants and they point it out and he's like, guys, don't worry, it's just piss.
Yeah, it's not what you think, it's piss.
And they're like, oh wow, really, thank you. So
because it was implying they thought it was cum.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense,
which is a really fucking good joke. There's many jokes that, you know, I would say that John Cena,
there was the one at the end too that's also my favorite, is when Zac Efron is trying to save John Cena and he gets coat hangered by by this big British dude. So funny.
Clotheslined. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You know, coat hanger, you know, abortion.
Yeah, he gets aborted.
Sorry. Yeah, I gave it 4 stars.
Yeah, I gave it 4 stars too, but that's mainly because it was carried heavily by the humor. I think the my least favorite part about comedy movies is that they all fucking fail at being entertaining when it comes to the conclusion, because they all feel the same of the like, I'll go apologize, I'll be friends with him now. It's a very common thing in fucking comedy movies that I'm just very over, very 2010s movie with the story.
I will say to the ending for this is like not shoehorned, but it's too clean, too neat, which is like with everything that happened, it's just kind of like, this is literally impossible. Like, and that's not a big thing when it comes to stupid stuff, but it was just like, what? It just kind of, you're gonna roll your eyes at it basically. It's like, oh, okay, all right, come on, let's wrap this up pretty much. Next up, my number 10 is Godzilla and Kong, the New Empire. Gave it 4 stars. We already did a review on that movie. We've done a full episode on it.
Yeah, go listen to that.
339.
We go hard in that shit. We talk all about it. Spoils abound.
Yeah, really enjoy it. Number 9, we just saw recently this past Thursday. So this would come out the following Monday. Arcadian.
Yeah.
Directed by Benjamin Brewer. Let me see. He hasn't really directed much. Starring Nicolas Cage, Jaden Martell, and Maxwell Jenkins. And you know what? I meant to look this up. Who the fuck is this guy?
Who?
Maxwell Jenkins, the other son. I don't
He's just a kid actor that really doesn't have many other roles.
And that's the thing, too. I've seen him in other stuff.
I mean, he's probably been in TV shows.
Yeah, no, you're right. Anyway. But yeah, it's kind of like a Nicolas... The marketing for it was like a Nicolas Cage led A Quiet Place, kind of. But it's definitely not like A Quiet Place. I see the comparisons with that market, especially with that marketing too. They know exactly who they were pandering to, but also too with Nicolas Cage. It's so funny because he doesn't say or do much for like the, like, I want to say for one third of the film, he says and does stuff, but then for two thirds of the film, it's just the kids.
Yeah. To be fair, when he does do stuff, it's really cool stuff. The entire time he's on screen, he's doing cool stuff or nothing.
Yeah, and so this film follows them. Nicolas Cage is the father, and the Jada Martell and Maxwell Jenkins are his sons. And this is in the future where life on Earth has been not decimated, but normal life has been decimated. So at nighttime, they have to make sure that they're in their house, they're boarded up, protected, hunkered down, because these creatures come out at night and will attack them when they're out in the darkness. They only come out at night, so that's what they have to do. And this is kind of their normal life. And certain things happen that put them all, you know, in danger. So I'll just say that, because I definitely think go into this a little surprised, because there's some crazy shit in here. The monster designs are really cool.
Yeah. Also, the thing is, it just came out, so I don't want to spoil it, because I know there's going to be some people that just don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah. Yeah.
These movies, and it's not enough time. This literally came out last week.
Yeah. So that's all I'm going to say. The monsters are really cool.
Yeah, the monsters, they do something that is incredibly freaky, that freaks me out a lot. I don't want them to do it anymore. But I also want another movie in this universe, because everything that they're describing about the surroundings and the events of the monsters coming to Earth, or being born on Earth or whatever, is super interesting. I want to know what the fuck happened.
Yeah, I want to know why they're the way they are, because there's some very incredibly creepy scenes in here. Like I said, it's the monsters are so cool. And then there's also a beginning sequence with Nicolas Cage that isn't really explained, and I want to know more what's happening with that.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I gave it 4 stars. I really enjoyed it.
4 stars for me as well.
My number 8 is Immaculate. This is the Sydney Sweeney-led nun movie, directed by Michael Mohan. Sydney Sweeney plays Cecilia, an American who goes to Italy to become part of a nunnery, and their weird nightmarish shit happens. I love this movie. I thought it was great, especially with certain visuals and the premise here. I won't say too much, just because I really enjoy this. So I think you should go in kind of knowing as little as possible. Really cool. One of my favorite shots in this film is where she is dressed up as the Virgin Mary, because this is a main story point, is that she gets pregnant and it's Immaculate. That's why, obviously, the name of the film. But it's just this gorgeous shot, really beautiful cinematography, and an insane, bloody ending that was crazy.
Yeah, it was. I really enjoyed the ending. My Letterboxd review spoils it completely, so do not look at that.
And I haven't seen Sydney Sweeney in much besides, like, offhand or... not offhand. What? Like people pulling scenes from stuff she's been in. I just through like scrolling through like Instagram or Twitter, I just see her performances or whatever. And she's a really good actress. I really enjoyed her.
Yeah, she is. She's great in Euphoria. She's great here. Everything I've seen with her, which is not much, those two, she's great.
Yeah. So I give it 4.5 stars. I really enjoyed it.
I gave it 4 stars. Would have been better if they like did the Harlem Shake or something, but they didn't. Nuns are crazy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, my number 7 is Love Lies Bleeding, directed by Rose Glass. This stars, sorry, I got a burp, Kristen Stewart and Katie O'Brien, and also Ed Harris.
And, which Ed Harris is a fucking freak in this one.
Yeah, he is. Mullet, bald mullet, crazy. But this is, Kristen Stewart is a gym manager who encounters muscle lady Katie O'Brien, and it's like a you know, they hit it off, obviously they fall in love, and but then there's also this, not side thing, but like Kristen Stewart is part of a crime family, her father, and it's just a bunch of chaos. One thing after another happens, and it's like a thriller. It was really good, really beautiful. Love the music, and everybody was great. I really enjoyed Kristen Stewart, Katie O'Brien. It's crazy how she got this role just from a simple like shooting her shot on Twitter, like the biggest shoot your shot probably ever. And yeah, they were incredible.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie too. But I will say there's one thing I am disappointed by, and that is in the trailer we saw the bulging of the muscles. I was hoping that would be a little bit more important to the story. Not important, but like it would happen more often with the supernaturalness of it. But in the end, it could be drugs. Could be drugs. Since she's on steroids, I don't know. But I just wanted to see her go beast mode more. She only does it really twice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Katie O'Brien, she bodybuilder. I don't know if I said that. She plays a bodybuilder. I mean, it was still brutal. I still loved it. I really enjoy it. I love muscular women.
And that Franco fucker was a piece of shit in this one.
It's so funny, we get Dave Franco in here, and it's just, I don't remember the last time I've seen Dave Franco, but man, he plays like a rotten bitch.
He usually plays dickheads, like in fucking 21 Jump Street. I feel like he was a dickhead.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I really love Lies Bleeding. God, so good. I give it 4.5 stars.
I gave it 4 stars.
All right, and then my number 6 is Stop Motion, directed by Robert Morgan, and this is about a stop motion animator who is suffering from clearly some trauma and mental illness, especially with her mother, who is also a stop motion or who's a stop motion filmmaker, and trying to help her with her project, but also trying to be her own artist, and due to this trauma and mental illness, it causes her mind to, over the course of the film, to just fracture, and it's the things that happen in this movie are so crazy. There is some really, you know, as the movie calls itself stop motion, there's some really cool stop motion animation and just insane imagery and sequences. It's a fantastic film.
And there's some freaks in it, the most disgusting little fuckers made out of crazy things.
So brutal. And there is also a scene in particular in here that reminds me of a film we actually watched we watched it this year.
What?
Peeping Tom.
Yeah, we did.
There's a scene in here that reminds me so much of Peeping Tom, 1960, a really good thriller murder film. I recommend it. But gosh, yeah, no, it was just a fantastic film, especially too, with it like art and like trying to find your own voice. It's very good. And like really, I mean, really hits, especially for other artists as well. And it's kind of cool also seeing like a focus on stop motion. So,
yeah. And also, Wenzel gets like this sometimes.
Jesus. Yeah. It's five. I gave it 5 stars.
I gave it 4 stars. Most in a pattern. Wenzel likes movies a lot. He gave a lot more 5 stars than me.
All right. What is that supposed to mean, huh?
It means you're easy to please.
You gave Godzilla and Kong 5 stars.
Fucking monkey battling a lizard is awesome.
Just saying.
Yeah, you denying that?
I mean, it is awesome. I'm just...
Yeah, case closed.
All right, anyway, now we're into my top five. So my number five is Society of the Snow. That follows the Uruguayan Air Force Flight 571 that crashed in the Andes Mountains back in 1972. And their struggle to survive. These rugby players, that's what they are. And some of them had their families too, which is like really disturbed, which is so sad. And God, how long were they trapped?
From October to December.
Oh, Jesus.
So like over 2 months, I think. So fuck, it's too long. I would definitely die in the probably plane crash, hopefully.
You know, the director of this, J.A. Bayona, directed Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
That is a strange jump.
That is so weird.
Huh. Because... Yeah, because this movie is so fun and like super happy and upbeat.
No.
And that movie's so sad.
No, this movie is incredibly just absolutely harrowing, so sad. I don't really know too much to say because this is, you know, obviously a true story. They're able to replicate very famous photographs that I completely forgot about and how disturbing they are. The makeup department and special effects really went off the chain with depicting these guys as brutalized as they were. It's really good. If you have the time to spare and the mental state, give it a watch. It's on Netflix.
And if you want a funner time, listen to the last podcast on the left series. You know, I'm shouting out them. They need the help. As a companion piece to this movie, it's a fun retelling of what the fuck goes on there with their own twist. But holy shit, it's crazy. Some of the stuff that they don't even include in the movie is just wild. About how, like, specifically the woman that at the front of the plane, this is one that stuck in my head from the entire thing, is that she survived for a couple of days screaming in agony. And they just couldn't bring themselves to, like, kill her. So she just died of, I guess, bleeding out or crushed organs or whatever. Pretty fucked.
Yeah. Thank you, Colt.
That's what we're already talking about, the movie where all these people died.
I literally just said it was sad and wanted to move on. Go watch it. You wanted to talk about, go into detail about how all these people die.
I mean... Just saying it's sad doesn't really give you an idea what you're getting into.
But that scene you just talked about was not even in the film.
Yeah, I know. And I think that I feel like that was important.
Also,
because it left a mark on me.
Also, too, nothing else, nothing I can say because it's based on a true story. Like this is in the public domain or public knowledge.
Yeah, then why aren't you spoiling it more?
Okay. Anyway. I give it 5 stars.
I get 4.5.
Are you gonna interrupt me again?
You didn't let me say my score.
My number four is Monkey Man, directed by for first directorial debut Dev Patel. I'm just going to read off of the fucking letterbox thing. Kid, an anonymous young man who ex out a meager living in an underground fight club where night after night, wearing a gorilla mask, he is beaten bloody by more popular fighters for cash. After years of suppressed rage, Kid discovers a way to infiltrate the enclave of the city's sinister elite. As a childhood trauma boils over, his mysteriously scarred hands unleash an explosive campaign of retribution to settle the score with the men who took everything from him. I got influences The Raid of John Wick. This movie was insane.
Yeah, there's some absolutely batshit scenes in this movie. I'm glad it's popping off as much as it is. It's already got 224K logs on Letterboxd, which is really, really awesome. Just the action scenes in this movie. Oh my fucking God. There's one that happens in the elevator. I'm not going to say what happens, but as soon as that happened, I knew I was going to give it a 5 stars. And we had like 40 minutes of the movie left or something like that. 30 minutes.
It was crazy. Me and Colt were just like, like it was so freaking cool. The camera work was like crazy. I will, if I were to give this a credit, like a negative, I would say that like there were some really dark scenes and some really awkward camera work that I was just like, I don't know what's happening too much, but it didn't really take me out or hurt me too much. The film was awesome, and the fight scenes were awesome, especially, and also to the story of like
Hanuman.
So, yeah, and also to Dev Patel's character being taken in by the trans community there, a little trans sect, was really cool. They also get their moment to shine, which is super sick.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say, what is it called? Kingsman church scene, kinda, with the amount of battling going on.
Kind of, yeah. It's brutal. It's crazy, but it's so freaking good. Really glad too that like Jordan Peele and people and other backers saw how awesome this movie is, because it's insane. I love it. Dev Patel really popped off. I'm curious about what he does next, you know.
He genuinely got his ass kicked for this movie, injuries that he got, and also in the movie I genuinely think he was taking all the fucking hits the description of what his damage done to his body was, and just from the scenes in the movie.
Yeah, so if nobody knows, this is true. Dev Patel broke his hand, and the easiest and quickest way for them to fix his hand so that they could continue filming was to put a screw in it. And then what they did is they made these commemorative like jackets or shirts with the screw on it to symbolize like that screw saved the film. So I just think that's fun. It's crazy. It reminds me easily of Jackie Chan doing Police Story and how injured he got for that.
Yeah. Dev Patel got way more injured, I feel. He tore like muscles in his back or his shoulder. He's got bruises and sprains all over. I want to know what the fuck he was doing.
Okay, you say that, but Jackie Chan was unconscious several times on that film and literally almost died.
I feel like Dev Patel was the same.
Don't get me wrong, Dev Patel got hurt, but like I can't really compare the two, especially with the final.
Just wait for the docs where it says that he was held up by gunpoint and shot 15 times.
Do you not remember me talking about how too Jackie Chan slid down the pole at the very end of Police Story? How he not only got like really bad burns, but also too was electrocuted because the pole was so hot that like the fact that he even clung on was due to sheer will, because no rational human would hang on because it was so fucking hot.
Yeah, but also Dev Patel took in the trans community with open arms, and Jackie Chan does not talk to his gay daughter. Didn't think about that.
You got me there. Jackie Chan's kind of a piece of shit. Very fair, Colt. Very fair. And also Dev Patel loves Portrait of a Lady on Fire. So
I don't know where you got that information, but that's good.
Oh,
did you talk to him?
No, there was an interview where they were talking about some of his favorite films, and he talked about Portrait of a Lady on Fire, and he's like, it's so achingly romantic. He loved it.
Did he say Wallace and Gromit? Please say yes.
No.
Why would you do this?
I gave Monkey Man 5 stars.
Yeah, I gave it 5 stars. That movie's banging.
All right. We're in top three now, for me anyway. Number three for me is a movie that we did see very recently. I won't spoil too much about it. It just came out. But it was a double feature with Arcadian. It is Alex Garland's final film, last film forever. Nobody knows. As far as we know, Civil War. In the near future, we follow the point of view of war journalists as they're driving basically across country in the second Civil War of America, trying to get to the to DC to secure an interview with the president as the Western forces make their way surrounding the DC, the capital. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, this movie. I'm still reeling from it because we did, as of recording, watch it last night. That movie was insanely brutal, insanely horrifying, and just also incredibly realistic, even just with the combat and the... If a situation were to arise, if, say, we had a Civil War II, I don't want that to happen, I'll say that. Hot take. It'd be very realistic with some of the way these people, ways that these people were acting.
No, it's it is very much a film. It is a horror film, like, but it wears, you know, there's no subtlety. It's not trying to hide anything. It just shows what it wants to show, and it's brutal. And yeah, no, me and Colt can stop talking about how the sound design was very well done, especially with the gunshots. And then also too, like the performances, but also like the, I want to say like the coordination or the choreography with like the movement of the soldiers and the group.
And the journalists, because the they were like moving like soldiers, basically, but with a camera.
Well, that's what war journalists do. I mean, they will be they will be right up in there. And I mean, as long as they're not on, as long as they're not with a group who hate, you know, wants to kill journalists. I mean, they'll just, you can get right up in there and just follow, and you just gotta be careful and keep your head down. No, it was just crazy. It was like we were actually, it felt like we were actually following like. I don't want to say a documentary, but it was just incredibly just real. It just felt so fucking real. it was crazy. And too, with how the interactions and the dialogue, it's just like, yeah, this is how fucking people would act. This is how people act now.
Yeah. Yeah. Specifically, we're not going to go into details, but the scene with Jesse Plemons, where he's like in the trailer, everybody's seen it. What kind of American are you? That scene is batshit insane. Chilling. It's very good.
The entire time, as soon as the movie fucking starts, I'm not kidding when I say I was so anxious and so tense the entire time. And Colt said this too. He had a pit in his stomach. I did too. I was like, I was just absolutely just. The last time I had a movie like this was On the same level of being stressed out, I want to say like Uncut Gems, but 8th grade, but on an existential dread of anxiety, nothing. Maybe Come and See, maybe. But in terms of like theater films, I don't think anything else has ever come like this before. This is insane. It crazy.
Also, we had a very packed theater experience, so I imagine this movie's going to do great.
Oh yeah, I mean it's.
It's only Friday right now as of recording, so technically it comes out today, so I don't know, it could do doo-doo, and we just got lucky with it, or not lucky, but just had a full theater that day.
No, it's a big title. I mean, it's playing on, you know,
current affairs.
It has A24, it has Jesse Plemons being a supporting actor, and it's sad too. There's probably a lot of people that are going to this movie kind of like living.
That's for the action, like living Civil out war stuff.
Living out their American gun violence, Civil War, anarchy, wet dreams, basically. Because there was a bunch of guys behind us who, as soon as the movie ended, they just started standing up, like just absolutely broing out. It was.
It sounded like they were wrestling. They were just like,
I don't think we actually any heard words, English words from them. Like any.
It sounded like Simlish, really.
Like any audible language known to mankind. It was just bro talk, I guess. I don't know. But no, it was crazy. I give it a high recommendation.
Yeah, five, easy. The four main reporters cast, Jesus Christ, fantastic. Thufir Hawat, I love you, man. You're great in everything I've seen you in. You're so fucking good.
Yeah, Stephen McKinley Henderson was very good. Very so funny. yeah, it was a good time. And there was like some crazy, like funny moments too of like obviously this isn't comparable, you know, between video games and war, but there's moments in there where like it reminds me of the times that we're playing in obviously like Call of Duty or Fortnite or whatever. It kind of has that vibe, but then at the same time it's just like shit, this is like real war stuff that actually people go through. So there, that kind of, I don't know.
Our vibe is not going to give details, but will you guys shut the fuck up? That scene.
That's exactly because oh my god, I don't know how many. Never mind. That scene, I had us laughing pretty hard because it's so relatable, but also too, it's just like it's jarring. It's like fuck. It's crazy. My number two is The First Omen, directed by Arkasha Stevenson. This is a prequel to the Omen series, which was so funny because at the very end of the movie, Cole looks at me and I thought he was doing a joke. He's like, I think that sets up for a sequel. And I was like, I thought he was joking. So I was like, yeah, they're going to call it The Second Omen. And then it occurred to me, I was like, he's not joking. I was like,
yeah, and I thought Wenzel was just being a dick. I was like, god damn, I thought it ended in a way that it sets up a sequel. Shit.
I was like, you do know this is based on the series. there's like three movies.
And I did see The Omen, the first one, a very long time ago, so I just completely forgot about it.
Sorry, there's four movies, now five. Yeah, so I won't say, obviously with these, you know, I want to talk a lot about these. I want to rave about them. And I won't say too much just because these movies I think are so good. You should go and see them yourselves. The First Omen is one of them. It is so freaking crazy. It follows, again, similar like Immaculate. It follows a nun who goes to Italy to become part of join these nuns, and it's the mystery surrounding a certain child and what's going on in this church. This is actually explained in the trailer, is that the church wants to make an object of fear so that more people can go to church, and that object of fear is, if you don't know, the Antichrist, which is the Omen. And it's very good. Our lead right here, Nell Tiger Free. Awesome name, by the way. She was fantastic. Incredible performance. She does something that is very clearly a reference to 1976's Possession that I just loved. If anybody else has seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It is insane. The performances, the body horror, so fucking creepy. So good. So freaking good. The cinematography, there's just such a cool shot with her and these candles. Oh, I love this. I've loved this.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. When it ended, it made me want to see more of Nell Tiger Free and some characters that are in it. I just want to see a remake of the original, I guess, at this point, and just continue from this story. Maybe right some wrongs, because I know after the first Omen, the movies apparently get shitty, so it'd be cool if they could maybe make them good this time.
It's so crazy how there's been so many like continuations of a franchise that like it can be hit or miss, and whenever it does hit, it hits so good. And the first Omen is that. I do think it's funny too how with the failure last year of Exorcist Believer, that people are kind of not turning their backs. Saying fuck you to that. I was looking at reviews and I saw many people saying, wow, Exorcist shit.
Yeah, to be fair, the trailer for that weren't the greatest. They were just scary because they were yelling at me.
Oh yeah, true. But yeah, no, it was very good. I give it 5 stars. I love the first one.
4.5. Could use more pugs. Probably would have lightened up the mood, I guess.
Yeah. And then my number one is a movie that we've already done an episode on. You go listen to that. It is Dune Part 2.
Yeah, Dune Part 2, banger. I get 5 stars. Tell you that in the review, but we go even in more in depth. Sadly, Thufir Hawat not in it. Very disappointed.
Yeah, that's episode 335. If you want to go listen to that, also it was very funny. There was a interview clip or whatever of the main stars and the director talking about McKinley Henderson and
in Civil War. It's a thing for Civil War.
Yeah, it was in Civil War, and then at the very end, Alex Garland just out of nowhere, it just says they cut him out of Dune 2. Those motherfuckers.
which I agree.
I agree, but at this, it was just so funny. Yeah. So, don't really have much to say. I get 5 stars. Dune 2 is awesome.
Yeah, and with that, that's Wenzel's list of it ranked. I didn't rank every single movie I watched this year. I just ranked the top 5 so far. Since it's quarter one, and opinions change like crazy as time moves on. Even my top 5 right now, I could feel completely different about this top 5 come months from now, because I just, humans change, input changes things. But my number 5, First Omen, great movie. 4, Godzilla, X-Kong, Love War, The New Empire, and number 3, Dune Part 2, great movie, I love it. I don't know. I think I liked. It was a good time. I'm just ready for Messiah. I'm just worried about that and how they're going to do it. And number 2 is Monkey Man. I love Monkey Man. And this is probably a wild take, but Civil War is my number 1 in movie of the year so far.
Nice.
I fucking love all these movies. Top 4 got 5 stars, and the first one got 4.5.
Hell yeah. I mean, all the movies, like you said, in your top 5 are fantastic, fun watches. Horror fans are eating good this year. I've said that quite a bit on my socials, but I mean, really, like, not only what has come out, but what is going to come out. It's just been a good year so far, I think, for movies. I've only seen one, bad movie, and that's pretty good.
Do you have any tips for Jason Statham?
Just do good movies.
Or like maybe read the script or fire agent, something like that.
I don't blame Jason Statham on this one. I blame the director. Jason Statham definitely did not write that script or had any say in that. The director Ayer definitely was like, we gotta have B puns, and he forced Jason Statham.
Why didn't Jason Statham save that woman from killing herself? That's still crazy to me. That's just so fucking wild that this old lady just kills herself.
No fucking joke. He was in the barn making honey.
Wait, he was like tending to the bees while this woman's getting scammed like 100 feet away?
Yes.
Fuck.
Okay. Because, yeah, so spoiler. So basically what was happening is because Jason's character takes beekeeping. I think all the beekeepers take beekeeping to like to heart because they get beekeeping manuals on how to beekeep. So, and that's not a bit, like, literally, okay, this again, spoilers, they Jason Statham kills an active beekeeper, and when they find her body, she has a manual for beekeeping. So the FBI agent picks it up and reads it, and it's like a legit guide to how to keep bees, not like coded or information or telling them how to, you know, kill or whatever. It's literally just an information guide. And so Jason Statham lives with this old woman on her estate, and he has a barn and an area for his bees, and at this barn he makes honey. And while she was getting scammed, he was tending to the bees, making honey in the barn.
I just feel like the straight to shooting yourself option was wild. You're literally working. You have someone there to help support you, but you know what? I don't know that old lady. She could have been on the edge.
I will like to say that what happens is, so this lady has a lot of money, and the reason why she has a lot of money is she does. She's a teacher. She's worked really hard. She does a lot of charity. She doesn't keep this money, like the charity. The big thing was the charity, I think, because the charity had like over like hundreds of thousands of dollars or whatever in it, or I think maybe even a million. And whenever, as soon as they got access to to her passwords and accounts, they just took all of her money. It's like the charity money she had raised, her life savings, her everything. So
it's not her fault.
Yeah, but she was just so distraught. She was like, I gotta, you know.
It was pretty
crazy.
Sounds like a bad movie.
It was a bad movie, Colt. It wasn't fun. All right, well, that's it.
Yeah, we're done. No more movies. This has been your quarter one report from us.
We're gonna go watch some more movies now.
Yeah, I mean, shit. This little segment of the year right now, Jesus Christ. There's so many fucking movies. We're going like weekly. For the last 3 weeks, we've been going weekly. And then like now it's going to be like bi-weekly. Got a lot of movies to see. AMC A-List is saving us so much fucking money. Jesus Christ, that shit's a lifesaver.
How many, do you know how many movies you've seen this year in total? You've watched?
61.
Yeah, I've seen 67.
Yeah.
So, yeah, watched a lot of movies last month. My biggest watch ever, March, I watched 34 films.
Yeah, and part of that was fucking that weekend we watched a shit ton with Tanner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, well, that's it for that. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Oh, hold on.
I was
at the plug.
No, I know. I didn't think you would actually fall for it. Wow, you're so dumb. So stupid.
You know, for that, I'm making Dune Messiah bad.
Are you Villeneuve?
I'm going to make the incest stuff heavy.
Aw, man.
See, you want that? I didn't want it, but you made me do it.
Okay, so thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at AYCH Podcast. You can listen to us on SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, anywhere where your RSS feed connects, blah, 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 blah. You can, or please subscribe, leave us a review, a rating, give us feedback. We are interested in what you have to say. You know, we appreciate it. You can follow the Backlog Boys pod on Twitter as well. You can follow Cajun Greatness, the instruction booklet. They're all on Twitter. They're all great. Go give them a follow. Seriously, go listen to their episodes as well. You can follow us on Blue Sky, aychpodcast.bsky.social. Follow us on Instagram, aychpodcast. Follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/allyoucanhear. Follow us on YouTube, All You Can Hear. And then you can follow me, Winzel, on Twitter at Winzy Wilkie. You can follow my art, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky as World of Winzy. Follow my bookstagram, Winzel Banters, and my link tree has links for everything, including my letterbox and my Goodreads.
My name is Colt. Follow me on Twitter at ColtD00 or Blue Sky, ColtD99. One more thing before we go. Free OJ Simpson. He didn't do it.
Is that really what you want to end us on?
OJ Simpson did not do it. Free him from prison.
Colt, do you know what happened yesterday?
Did they free him?
He's kind of free.
Okay, hell yeah, dude.
I don't know where to go with this.
Rest in peace, Orenthal.
Just kidding.
Burn in hell, you fucking. The glove doesn't fit. Glove doesn't fit.
Did you see that bit about when he wrote that book? But apparently, there was like, when it came to his ex-wife's family, they had control over like the cover. So whenever it says "if I did it," they made sure to make the "if" so small that the cover of the book says "I did it."
As a fuck you
to him. I love that.
Did not know that.
Good design choice. That's so fun. But yeah, there you go. So
goodbye, Twitter world.